What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, and this is your daily Clap Your Hands morning update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And yes, it is me, ESP. It is not James Jackson. I had to take this one over for the day because I want to talk about that Sixers game. And look, me and James are going to record a pod later today to dive deeper into the game, preview the next game, talk about takeaways. But as excited as everybody is for the Phillies right now, and understandably so, and as interesting are the Eagles are right now, and of course, understandably so, and I appreciate everyone that checks out Go Birds Daily, means the world to me. I'm excited the Sixers are back, man. It was awesome watching them play on Monday night. Yes, I know no Embiid. Yes, I know no Paul George, but it was really cool to have him back. Again, as much as we love talking Eagles and as much as the Phillies are the story right now, it is dope to have Sixers basketball back in Philadelphia. So it was really cool to see them kick off the preseason with, let's be honest, a complete and utter beating of the New Zealand Breakers. Props to the Breakers for coming out to Philly, but yeah, the Sixers handled them pretty easily. So what I want to get into today is just my takeaways from the game. Obviously, our guy James Jackson had the takeaways right after the game in the morning feed for you guys. And I do want to say a quick side note. Thank you to everybody that has been listening to the Clap Your Hands Daily. It truly does mean the world to me, just like it does with Go Birds. But the fact that you guys open the podcast app and decide to listen to our content, we really, really are very lucky. And I could not be more excited for this Sixer season to start and to go on this journey with you guys. And also for supporting James Jackson. He has been doing an awesome job. I know how excited he is to bring you guys some really good, unique Sixers coverage this year. So just super pumped. And obviously Jack Fritz is going to be a big part of it as well. But look, we all know the deal. I even lie to you right now. Jack and James Seltzer are Phillies out. It is what it is. They are the Phillies guys, the best ones in the city. The High Hopes pod remains the king, and they are clearly very wrapped up in the Phillies right now. But that doesn't mean we can't talk Sixers. So let's get right into it. And I want to give you guys first, as I do with the Go Birds pod, let's give you some schedule. So first, obviously, Sixers played on Monday night. They will next play on Friday night against the Timberwolves, October 11th at 7 p.m. Hey, man, could be during a game five at that point. So it will be another big day for the Sixers as the Phillies dominate coverage and everyone prepares for the Eagles. But yes, Friday night, the Sixers play against the Timberwolves. Maybe we'll see Joel Embiid and Paul George then. I'd be surprised. But yeah, next game is on Friday night. And then as far as injuries, no real injuries as of now. I want to have a deeper discussion with James on the regular pod about what the Sixers are doing with Joel Embiid and Paul George and whether or not they should play in the preseason at all. But the one noteworthy thing is if, you know, you are using this as a way to just find out everything that that's happened with the Sixers, they did not play against New Zealand. And to be honest, man, watching the way like some of the New Zealand players were playing out there, I think it was a smart decision, and I would have probably sat Maxi after 2 minutes because you just couldn't risk him out there with, you know, props to the New Zealand players are coming out here and playing well, but you can just tell, you know, when professionals are playing against guys that are really not professionals, it's kind of not safe for some of the players. So let's get into the takes from the game. And my biggest takeaway from the game, at least in terms of the non-key players, is the Sixers really do have an upgrade at backup center this year in Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond just looks so much better than Paul Reed did. Obviously, we know B-Ball Paul, fan favorite. Shout out to Spike of the Rights Ricky Sanchez podcast for making Paul Reed happen. It's really the only reason he was back last year. But in terms of just being a better basketball player, Andre Drummond is a big-time upgrade over Paul Reed. He's a way better rebounder, way better defender, way more reliable around the rim, and he even made a three-pointer last night. So that is one thing that definitely stands out. That, look, can you win with Andre Drummond as your starting center? No, you probably need a pretty special cast around him if he's your starting center for an entire playoff run. But I don't think he's a major negative if you have to start him. Like, I think he is a professional quality veteran big man. And that's kind of what they've really been lacking other than when they had Andre Drummond, to be completely honest. As inconsistent as Paul Reed is, and he had his moments where he looked really good, you can just tell that Andre Drummond brings a sense of reliability and a higher floor than Paul Reed did. So there will be games this year, obviously, where Joel Embiid doesn't play. There'll probably be 25 or 30 of them. And there might even be playoff games where Andre Drummond doesn't play. And having, I'm sorry, when Joel Embiid doesn't play, and having Andre Drummond to come in, I think is going to be a big boost for this team. So he finishes with 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 1 of 1 from 3. I have a thought on that 3-pointer for you coming up in a little bit. I think we might have got a hint of how the Sixers are going to play this year. But yeah, Andre Drummond, really, really good. The other part of that, in terms of just having better backup quality big men, Yabusele was pretty good too. So Yabusele finishes with 15 points, 6 of 6 from the floor. He also goes 1 of 1 from 3. Again, I got thought coming up for you guys about that in a minute. But here's the difference for me between Drummond and Yabusele. Yabusele played more minutes than Drummond did and finished with 1 rebound. Drummond finished with 7 rebounds. Like, I know Drummond is a way better rebounder, but here's my concern watching Yabusele. He's 6 of 6 from the floor, so he does have great touch around the rim. And look, we all saw what he did in the Olympics when he dunked over LeBron, so I know he does have athleticism. But he seems a little KJ Martin-ish tweener size to me. Like, he has a big body for sure. He's heavier than KJ Martin. I think he can push guys around in a way KJ Martin can't. But he doesn't seem like a above the rim player to me. And I am concerned that in, you know, if he's playing big moments, big minutes and big moments in big games this year, I don't know if I trust him as a rebounder. And only 1 rebound against that New Zealand team that was missing plenty of shots is kind of concerning. Now, maybe they view him more as a 4 and they're not going to count on him to rebound as much. But he doesn't strike me as a great rebounder. Maybe it's just 1 game. You know, this is just the eye test off of 1 game. But the major difference for me between Drummond and Yabusele is the rebounding. I think Drummond is just a far, far, far better rebounder. And Yabusele, I think, will be good at finishing looks under the basket. I do, again, worry a little bit about if he's more of an under the basket player than has the ability to get up and go over guys. But yeah, I mean, he looked like to me like a old school YMCA player that just, you know, you're playing and this guy just makes all his layups, knows how to play, hard playing guy. Like, I think he's going to be an awesome addition to the team. But I am curious to see how he does against some of the more athletic big men in the league. He's a little Jared McCady to me, who we'll talk to about in a second, where the athleticism doesn't jump off the floor, and you really hope that it would, especially going against a non-NBA team like New Zealand. But regardless, I still think that the team is way better at backup big than they were before. And it does make sense when you hear how they talk about Joel Embiid and how they want to manage his minutes this year and how he says they're going to have to take his shoes for him pregame. They clearly know they're going to be playing a lot more games without Joel, and they're going to need better quality backup big men. So yeah, the backup big men on this team are going to be better this year for sure. So the other takeaways, Jared McCain, first chance to see him in a true Sixers uniform. Obviously, he played in Summer League and we talked about him there. And he is a guy that you hear this often, that like when he's making his shots, he's way better. Like, duh, whenever anyone's making their shots, they're way better. But he is somebody that as of right now is going to be pretty useless if he's not making his shots. He doesn't have NBA athleticism. He kind of feels to me like a guy that in 5 years, when he really learns the game and has like veteran tricks in his bag, he'll be a way better player. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he was a Kyle Lowry type of player where the first few years of his career, he's kind of learning his way and then he kind of has a resurgence later on. And I think Kyle Lowry is more athletic than Jared McCain is. But Jared McCain, I mean, he was getting cooked by some of these New Zealand players. Like, he is going to be unplayable on defense for stretches of pretty much probably all this year. Like, he's going to have to learn to play defense. He doesn't have the athleticism to make up for bad technique on defense. So, yeah, I thought defensively he was it was not great. On offense, he's still, like, if he's not shooting the ball well, I don't really know what he brings. He doesn't look great as a distributor. He's not going to blow by anybody. I mean, you want to talk about Yabusele being an under-the-rim player. I thought McCain really looks like someone that is not going to get up, go to the basket, and rise up over players. And not even talk about dunking, but I just mean getting his shot off. Like, I think he will have his shot blocked quite a bit this year, driving to the basket. But what he can do is shoot. And last night, he goes 4 of 9 from 3, and there's 2 really encouraging parts of that. First, I think at one point he was like 4 of 5. He started off red hot, and you can see a couple things with this shot. One, he's a very willing shooter. To shoot 9 times, like, that's awesome. The Sixers, as we know, have had players who have been unwilling to shoot McCain does not seem like one of those players. He will let it fly, whether he's shooting well, and when he gets hot, you'll see that he'll definitely be willing to let it fly, which happened against the Breakers on Monday night. But what also stood out about him was he gets his shot off quick. And, you know, there's been videos circulating on Twitter comparing his shot to Nicholas Batum's. And it makes sense. He has added that kind of no dip catch and release shot where he gets it up ultra quick on that point. You remember Batum used to get it, catch it with his hands up and basically shoot it as soon as it touched his hands. It looks like he's added that to his shot. So I don't think McCain's going to get big minutes in the rotation this year, especially when you look at some of the veteran backup guards they have. But there will be games like on a Tuesday night when, you know, it's not like a game that's a primetime game. Maybe Embiid's not playing and they need guys to step up, where when he plays, you know, 12, 15 minutes, that I do think he is someone that can come in, make a few big threes off the bench and help the team. So the NBA shot is there. He definitely has an NBA 3-point shot and that'll keep him in the league for a while. But he's a guy to me that's going to have to learn the game because he just doesn't have the athleticism to make up for some of his mistakes until then. Ricky Council. What impresses me so much about Ricky Council is he, you know, I see this in football a lot, right? Like if a guy is playing in the second half of a preseason game, and he's like a projected starter or whatever, right? Like N'Kobe Dean, when N'Kobe would play in the second half of a preseason game, you really want that player to jump out and look like he is the best player on the field. It's a little tougher with quarterbacks, but the another analogy would be if Kenny Pickett is playing the first half of a preseason game against all backups, you want the former first round pick, former starting quarterback to look way better than the rest of the players out there. Ricky Council consistently looks like he is way better than the players he is playing against. He looked like that in the summer league, and he looked like that last night or a Monday night against New Zealand. And it's really important that I think he's able to do that because he truly does have a ton of potential. So he finishes with 13 points. He goes 1 of 1 from three. But his athleticism, we just talked about McCain's athleticism, Yabusele's athleticism. Ricky Council's athleticism is elite for an NBA player. He gets up super high above the rim. He takes off 4 or 5 feet from the basket and still gets there with big strides. He's super fast in the open court. NBA athleticism on defense. He could really, really turn into something. He doesn't have an elite basketball skill like McCain does. Council's elite skill is his athleticism. McCain's elite skill is his shooting. So obviously Council, you know, has more he needs to work on, but it is definitely noteworthy to me that when he's supposed to look like a better player than the guys he's against, he consistently does. Like as good as McCain was at shooting the ball, I didn't think he looked considerably better than anybody on New Zealand. Council, the second he got on the floor, looked like he was way better than everybody else. So once again, another time where I leave a game watching Ricky Council and come away super, super impressed with him. And I'm excited to watch him develop this year. He will be in the rotation, in my opinion. He's not going to be the first guy off the bench, but I think he'll probably be the eighth guy in the rotation, you know, third guy off the bench. I think that they seem really intrigued by him. Nick Nurse has spoken highly of him. And he has an athleticism that a lot of players on their team don't. They don't really have a ton of super athletic guys. Like Maxi, obviously super athletic. You know, but outside of that, like Joel, kind of slow. Like they're not a super fast athletic team. And I think Ricky Council is going to bring that for him. So another really encouraging performance from Ricky Council. What also stood out to me was just the collection of backup guards. Eric Gordon, Kyle Lowry, Reggie Jackson. It does feel a bit repetitive. I don't know how you're going to give them all enough minutes to keep them happy. I know Eric Gordon can play the two, obviously, but he can also be a backup point guard. Reggie Jackson, Kyle Lowry, pure backup point guards. Reggie Jackson can shoot enough that maybe you could get some minutes with him at the two, but with Maxi playing a ton of minutes, I did wonder if briefly last night, maybe Reggie Jackson could be a surprise trade / cut guy, but he comes in and plays awesome. And I think what really stood out about the team, we talked about it with the center position, was they are just a way deeper team than they were last year. I mean, they haven't had this amount of competent ball handlers on the team in a really long time. And so while it is a depth thing and it is a luxury thing at this point, and those things can always be changed in a trade, especially if you look at Reggie Jackson, makes $3 million. Like that is a very tradable contract if they go out and want to add somebody. Eric Gordon can help any team Kyle Lowry, the same thing. So I do think one of them, I'd be surprised if all three were on the team the entire year. But right now, especially with Maxey being still somewhat of a young player in terms of being a primary ball handler, the depth there is really, really impressive. So yeah, I was impressed by them. So on the other side, I'm going to talk more about Tyrese Maxey, because as exciting as all these depth guys are, Maxey is someone that's going to have a huge impact on how this season goes. And I have a theory about what they're going to do with him this season and how it kind of relates to Drummond and Yabusele shooting those threes. So on the other side, after a beautiful word from our beautiful sponsors, some thoughts on Tyrese Maxey. Okay, so if you watched Tyrese Maxey on Monday night, I thought a couple things were very clear. One, he is going to be awesome this year. He just looks so much more confident. He is getting his shot up even quicker than he was before. The release looks like it's quicker than it's been in year past. He's pulling up 2-3 feet behind the three-point line. He's pulling up like on the run. He's bringing the ball up the court and letting it fly, you know, pretty much right away from 5 feet. He looks fast. He looks strong. He's attacking the basket. He had a drive to the basket where he laid it up, and it really reminded me the way Iverson would kind of drive up with the ball. The contact would come, and he would like stretch his hand out and lay it up with a finger roll. I mean, it was just super, super impressive to see, and the numbers back it up. He played only 12 minutes. He finishes with 15 points, 4 of 5 from three. Not a ton of assists. I didn't think he was outstanding as a playmaker, but just as like a dude, and you know, we talked about this when we did draft stuff, like Maxey looks just like a dude that will take over games, much like Ricky Council looked better than the players he was on the floor with. Maxey looked exactly the same. He's supposed to come out and embarrass that New Zealand team, and Maxey came out and embarrassed that New Zealand team. So we've talked about this with James and Jack, and we've done the pod, but I thought last night was a hint at what we're going to see this season. This really feels to me like Maxey's team. That doesn't mean he's the best player. Joel is the best player. But you listen to everybody with that team talk, and you listen to some of the people that are close to the team, you know, beat writers, podcast people, like shout out to Mike from Rights of Ricky Sanchez. Like it's noteworthy to me how many people are talking about how Maxey is going to either lead the team in points, lead the team in assists, how, you know, all the teammates talk about he's the one that's going to make him go. Joel's talking about it's my job to make sure Maxey's the best version of himself. Paul George is really praising him. To me, this feels like it's going to be Maxey running the show. And why I think there was a hint at how he's going to be used and how Joel is going to be used last night was Drummond and Yabusele shooting threes. Drummond is not a three-point shooter. Yabusele is not a three-point shooter. Now, they went 2-for-2 last night, so you know they're clearly working on it and adding it to their game. But I think one way they can make Joel's life easier this season is by not making him, and I know all my old-school basketball people are going to hate this, is not making him be a guy that when he's playing, obviously one way to get him rest is to only play him for 55 games, right? Where he's getting nights off, not playing back-to-backs. They've done that before, though. It hasn't worked. Like, he's still banged up when it comes to the playoffs. One way, I think, to get him to the regular season rested and healthy is to make the minutes he plays less harsh on his body. When he plays now, he has to carry the team on offense and on defense. He is down in the paint. He is getting the ball on the low block. He is having to, you know, be the main offensive guy the majority of possessions. Obviously, Paul George coming in changes that. Paul George can be a guy that they give the ball to go and make something happen. He's one of the best ISO players in the NBA. But part of that is Joel needs to be out of the paint. You can't have two guards and ask them to create and have Joel clogging up the middle. I think if you're going to make Maxey the primary guy, and by saying that doesn't mean Joel's going to average like 15 points. But what I do think that means is when Joel and Maxey and Paul George are all playing, I think you're going to see Joel chill out on the perimeter a little more than he has in the past. And you know, I know it's a preseason game against the New Zealand Breakers. I know that they're not going to give away their secrets how the offense is going to look this year, but it doesn't feel like a coincidence to me that in a game where Drummond is playing in Embiid's spot, he attempted two three-pointers, actually. And so I've said 1-for-1. He, I believe, was actually 1-for-2 from three. Yabusele, you know, if they're running like a system on offense, attempted a three. I think Joel is going to be chilling by the perimeter a little more this year. A, because you have two guards, I think it'll make it easier for them to attack the paint. But the other thing that that's going to do is it is going to make the minutes he does play way easier on his body by not making him get down there and be in the paint, not making him get down there and get all his points by fighting inside the paint and taking contact. Doesn't mean he's just going to be, you know, a stretch four like Chris Bosh was with the Heat, but I think that it's a role he could excel in, and I think it's a role that would make things a lot easier on his body. So as James Jackson says, that is something I want to leave you guys with, that if the goal for this season is to keep Joel healthy and the goal for this season is to get him to be the freshest version of himself come playoff time, why wouldn't that version be somebody that gets to relax a little more during the regular season, even when he plays? Allow the young legs of Maxey to carry this team. Let him drive to the basket and get beat up in the paint. Let Paul George be a primary creator on the perimeter. And let Joel maybe not have to carry a team for 55 games, 60 games or whatever, like he has for most years. Yes, it's awesome he gets to sit games, but when he plays, the minutes he plays are very hard on a 30-year-old 7'2", 300-pound big man. It's just hard minutes. And I think the one way to make his life easier and to make sure that he is more prepared come playoff time is to make the minutes he does play this season easier on his body. So that will be your clap your hands daily for you. You know, hopefully as you're listening to this, you're thinking about the Phillies winning last night. You're thinking about the Eagles on Sunday. But this could be 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes for you to get excited for the Sixers, because it's going to be a really fun year, and it's going to be a really fun year on the Clap Your Hands podcast. So thank you guys, everybody, for listening. Truly means the world to me, James, and Jack that you guys take the time to make Clap Your Hands part of your day. We'll have a pod for you later in the day, and I will talk to you guys next time. Peace.